How did you guys come up with the idea for the film? Because I know you guys have been in theater, did your short. So what made this the right time to get into a feature-length film?
Well, it was something we wanted to do for a while. I mean, we talked about transitioning from theater to film and making feature films. And then we just thought, yeah, what is a sort of extreme way to do that? Like, what would be like a feature film that, you know, we knew it was going to be an indie movie, so what is something we could do that someone else isn't necessarily doing? And this seemed natural because we had done a lot of musical theater in our own weird way, and then the short, our own sort of combination of horror and musical comedy. And so it was like, okay, what is the best, in a way, creative playground for us to do all these bizarre things that we like to do, compose in this style, write lyrics of this nature, and
things of that nature, and things of other natures.
So yeah, it was like, wow, what if we made, like, you know, took a musical theater camp and all of the wacky stuff that happens there, and did, like, the slasher at a musical theater camp, you know, because you do have this tradition of slasher and camp and that kind of thing, and then also like theater camp. So it was like, let's try to do both, and it just seemed like a fun and ill-advised thing to do.
There's a lot of stuff going on in the film, a lot of different emotions. In terms of, like, you know, balancing the drama, the comedy, the horror, how did you guys find a balance, you know? Because sometimes some movies try to do it and just don't really seamlessly transition well. So how did you guys find that balance?
Well, I don't know. Did we? I don't know. No, I honestly don't know. I mean, it's hard to know what people think. I mean, a lot of people would receive this movie differently, you know, because it is such a risky sort of fusion of different things. But we just sort of went with how it felt at the time, you know, and sort of we went full commitment when it was came to a musical number or when it came to a horror set piece or a sequence. We just sort of did it as we felt it in the way that we, you know, and a lot of it follows in the tradition of these genres, you know, like the slasher genre has been pretty evolved, especially since the 70s and 80s. So in a way, it was just we just went with, like, what felt right at the time. And I think in that sense, to some people this might be just such a weird thing, but to others it might be like, it might feel, I don't know. I mean, it's up to the audience to I'm not sure the answer, you know?
Yeah, there's no predefined way for how you go about actually balancing all the stuff. It's just more, we knew what we wanted to be in there. And then certainly in the editing process, there's a lot of fine-tuning to figure out how it is that these various extreme scenes, some of which is extreme comedy, and then there's extreme horror and gore, and extreme psychological tension at certain points.
We did cut out the extreme pornography that you said.
Yes, and that was, in retrospect, a good idea. Yeah. I'm sorry about that.
Yeah. And once you do that, the balance just finds itself.
Yeah. Then it became much more balanced. And I became more balanced.
How difficult was the casting process? Because there's a lot of multi-talented actors involved, and I was, like, surprised because there's a bunch of people I've never seen before, and I was like, yeah, they're really good. So how difficult was that, you know, finding the right people?
I'd say about 8.5
about 16, 17 scale.
It was very difficult, and we had the luxury of having top casting directors in both working out of both Toronto and New York. And in a way, it just got us excited just to do more of this kind of thing, because in New York, for example, I mean, in Toronto too, we were seeing like the top musical talent, musical theater talent. And here, for example, the casts of like Book of Mormon and Mamma Mia were coming in and singing the songs from Stage Fright. It was just a sort of pleasure to see just all these talented people that, like you say, are not screen names necessarily, but are just like crazy double threats. And, it was difficult. We cast a really wide net, and yes, we were doing sort of an unconventional casting process as far as feature films tend to go. But it was also like a revelation of just how much talent there is, when it came to finding singer actors. So it was both of those things, difficult, but also extremely exciting and cool. And, yes, largely there are very few movie musicals. You know, there are some, and there are some, you know, musical TV shows, but very few. So there are just so many talented people that you don't see on this Oscars was the first time a lot of people heard of Idina Menzel. You know, she's been around for a decade. You know, like, but people are like, oh, that's a new person.
Sorry, what did John Travolta call her?
Right,
something.
Built up. He said it with confidence. That was what I mean.
The look at when he was looking at the prompt, it was really, he was just like,
yeah.
I'm like, how did you miss it? It's not even like a way off.
Yeah.
Well, clearly he didn't know who she was.
Yeah. Which is weird because he's in a lot of musicals. I mean, he was in the original Grease, Saturday Night Fever.
Right. But yeah, part of the fun of this is to be able to go back to the theater people from our past. These aren't the same people, but the group of theater people in general that generally don't make it onto the silver screen, so to speak, but there's a lot of talent there that usually does not get shown in anything other than like black box theaters, and being able to put that on the screen, you know, you have experiences where someone like yourself will be like, oh yeah, these are really talented people and I've never seen them before, and it is exciting to be able to find those people and throw them on the screen.
And how fun was it making the music? Because I noticed like towards the end you guys were, you know, sort of mixing genres. You had the metal while you had the musical theater stuff at the same time, sort of playing at the same time. How did you guys write that stuff while also making some interesting sequences?
Yeah, I mean, and that's like, you know, it's like a fun sort of idea, right? Like, imagine a guy with his sort of AC/DC boombox, and then there's a guy with his like Gilbert and Sullivan, and like he's like turning it up, and then he's turning it up, and then he's turning it up, and then they both start to go. It's like a funny thing for composer, for us as composers, to get to play around in this. It was just like, you know, to us it was a funny, you know, like you have an orchestra here and then a full rock band, and you know, each of them gets to sort of have a duel, you know, with each other, and then end up duetting. And that's just sort of like, I don't know, for us it was just like a composer fantasy to be able to do that, you know. A lot of our favorite music as inspiration for the orchestral stuff, the Gilbert and Sullivan, the Roger and Hammerstein, and the Kander and Ebb, Stephen Sondheim stuff. And then, you know, AC/DC, Led Zeppelin, and Guns N' Roses, and Black Sabbath even. You know, it's basically our whole high school experience. And getting
that's all we studied in high school.
To compose in both styles and then have them converge. It's just like, just for us, so much fun to be able to do that. It's sort of like, you know, just what we would want to hear in a way, you know.
And what was filming like? I know you guys went away to that camp, so how was like the chemistry with the cast? You know, there's a lot of young cast members, you know, not too many people that have been around a long time outside of Meatloaf, really.
I will say this, we had so many difficult things to pull off, because we're doing in-camera singing, you know, live singing on set. We're doing in-camera gore effects, and all those special effects were achieved practically on set. We're working with kids. We're working in a camp. We're shooting a lot of times outside, braving the elements, the wind, the rain, the noise. And despite all those challenges, and not to mention dancing and choreography, but despite all that, because of all that, the only way this actually got made is because of the talent and devotion of the cast. And no matter how young the cast member was, everyone was so serious and devoted. So even though there's a lot of jokes and stuff in the film, everyone was so serious between takes. Everyone, all the way from the youngest little Jada Robinson, who plays the cutest little girl ever, she was so serious about her role, you know. And everyone really wanted to make this work, and everyone really sort of had that attitude of believing in the project and wanting to. So that's how we ended up pulling through in the end, was because that was the energy that the cast brought. And it, for us, it was like an honor for us to work with all these super talented people, and a luxury that they were just so into it. So, you know, it was a tough shoot because of all the technical complexity, but it was a joy because of all of the cast and their energy and what they brought to it.
Another cool, fun fact about the shoot in chemistry was the fact that we actually stayed at that camp. So it was a bit of a different shoot because a lot of us were... We spent our days and nights there, and bonded in that way and played our floor hockey. And in general,
guitar around the bonfire.
Well, we had a lot of some good jams as well. And it was, you know, I'm not highly experienced in a lot of fun shoots, but I think there was a unique chemistry that was developed in this one because we were basically people who were in our like 30s, were reliving the camp experience during the whole thing.
Friday night, I'd go over to Dave Mason's cabin, the Key Grip. He would just break out a bottle and tell stories. Shout out to Dave Mason.
Can you shout him out?
Shout out to Dave Mason.
Thank you. Yeah.
What did you guys learn from your first feature-length film? What would you say you guys took the most away from it?
Try to do less. Tons of stuff. In many ways, this was a crazy, ambitious project, you know. Like, it's deceptive. It's like, oh, indie movie at a camp, indie horror film. But no, it really was, like, massive cast, extras, choreography, and all these things that we talked about. And in a way, it's sort of like, well, in a way, we sort of got all that out of our system now, so that in the next project, it might even be, in a way... Yeah. Less extravagant because it's sort of like, you know, kind of we did all these things that it's like, oh, wouldn't it be fun to do this and wouldn't it be fun to do that? And so I think one of the lessons is, you know, to not necessarily try to do so many things. Not that that we regret it, but that it's definitely a common thing, I think, for first time out to, you want to do everything. It's like you're a kid in a candy store now, and you're like, let's do that, let's do that, let's do that. But, you know, sometimes you can do so much with just a little thing or something, you know, less, and that's, you know, but... I don't know. What else did we learn? There's just so many things that we learned. Don't shoot a brutal kill scene at 3 in the morning in less than 3 hours.
Preparation is key to leave adequate time for preparation in general. Which, I mean, basically we had and was allotted as such, but definitely when it is a project with this level of ambition, if you have that little time to shoot, you need all the more time to prepare for those specific days. Because our shoot schedule, like it sounds on paper like slasher at a camp, you know, maybe that we shot in 23 days, so maybe that would be a traditional feature slasher that could be a reasonable number of days for an indie film. But for a musical with all of these added components and complexity, that was a lot to pack into there. So it relied on being prepared for that time period.
So. And how did you guys come up with the metal killer? You know, any horror slasher film, the villain's got to be on point. So how did you guys craft that killer, the mask, from the can openers as weapons? So how did you guys come up with them?
It was sort of like piecemeal, step by step. We knew we wanted to do a sort of a new spin on the mask killer. We're like, okay, well, how are we going to do a new kind of mask? And then we were like, well, it should come out of the pretentiousness of theater, right? If it's going to be like the killer hates theater, what did he hate most about theater? Well, there's this aspect of, in theater, this pretentious reinventing of old classics into this weird sort of academically wrongly executed. So the idea of they're now doing the Haunting of the Opera show in feudal Japan and sort of inadvertent racist production of the, so it's like a very meta postmodern, like here's a kabuki version of the British mega musical that in and of itself took place in Italy, and so it's going to be this feudal Japanese version of the British take on this Italian story. You know what I mean? Yeah. So it's like, that was like the inspiration for, okay, the starting point, I should say, of like, if the killer hates theater, and he hates specifically the pretentious, you know, wrong-headed reinvention of theater, you know, and that's why this director, he's like, we're gonna do a kabuki version of this, and we're like, okay, so that needs to be, the kabuki is going to be the jumping off point for the mask, as well as the fact that like kabuki theater and kabuki masks to begin with are like crazy scary just to look at, even as their own. And then the killer is going to take a kabuki mask, and then he's going to mess it up and just do all kinds of scary things. So it was like it converged, and I was like, yes, this is what it has to be. It's the kabuki killer, but then the metal version of that. And the mask, we worked with Michael Ground, the amazing costume designer, and he brought in a mask maker from The Lion King, actually, who worked with us on creating a specific look, and then tear drops, and it was just like, yeah, we were like, let's do it. It's awesome.
Chris, we're going to do 3 minutes.
All right, no problem. Thank you. And where do you guys plan on taking what you've learned onto whether your next project is back to theater or another feature length or short? What do you guys plan on doing next?
Building a skyscraper. Well, it's going to be movies.
But without kids and stuff.
No child labor. Yeah, I mean, it's going to be movies and TV, more movies and TV, although we're not opposed to doing more stage stuff, but it's just what's fun about movies and TV is that once you're done, you don't have to be there every night to perform it.
Yeah.
So, you know, we can just push a button and go take a nap once we're done. Unlike in theater where we had to memorize lines and shit.
Oh, God.
Oh, man.
I don't know how they tolerate that.
No, but yeah, I mean, we're working on a couple things. One thing that's coming out in the short term is, I don't know if you know the ABCs of Death anthology.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So there's ABCs of Death 2 coming out that Magnolia is releasing, and I do have the letter V in that. So there's a short that's going to come out soon. But then, yeah, more of the same, but as you say, with the lessons learned.